I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:11.
Yes,
an amazing night. Well, night our time. An amazing morning, if you will.
Yes, I'm going.
And the morning is Kim Jong-un stepped across a concrete curb. And in that concrete curb, and therein, North Korea joined South Korea for the first time in 65 years. 65 years later. Incredible. An awkward handshake and a hug, and suddenly two Koreas, at least in part, become one. Amazing. Just a really amazing situation. So, lots to talk about. We'll get to all of that coming up. And, you know, we need to do it now at 6:12. Let's start with the top 66.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All nuclear weapons removed from the Asian Peninsula. How about that? What does China think? What does Donald Trump think? The president deserves credit for being just crazy enough. May have scared him. Of course, the sanctions that the Trump administration hammered the North Koreans with seem to be a big deal. We're efforting one of the great experts on the region to join us this morning to talk about it. And efforting is not a word, but I like using it. So, Kim Jong-un and President Moon Jae-in declaring an end to the Korean War by the end of this year.
How about that? You know what I found interesting too, Steve? When they said they're going to dismantle all the propaganda, all the broadcast speakers that have just been blaring across that border, if you will, back and forth.
It's really kind of hard to believe. Well, it's not kind of hard to believe. It's hard to believe. And I hope they can get them. You know, will they take it back to Best Buy? Get some money back?
Exactly right. And
can I be the Debbie Downer in the group here?
Yeah. Sure.
And just remind you that there are lots of promises have been made in the past and not followed through on.
But you've never had the leader of North Korea and the leader of South Korea in 65 years hug.
No, but you've had promises that have never been carried out.
Yeah, Debbie. Thanks, Debbie. All right, how about you enjoy it for a second, Debbie? Next. Bill Cosby.
Wow.
Is no longer Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby is now William Cosby, convicted felon. 80-year-old Bill Cosby yesterday was convicted of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman 14 years ago. It is the only of 65, and by the way, if there's 65, there could be 300, 65 reported cases of Cosby drugging and assaulting women over the last 50 years. Dozens of women have accused the entertainer of that same sort of assault, same M.O., and Cosby finally convicted of the same. This is such a, again, this is such a weird deal.
It is.
Because it's impossible to separate the Bill Cosby you thought you knew and the Bill Cosby you now know to be true. What he does from here remains to be seen. He is supposedly still in his house in suburban Philadelphia. He is likely to be fitted with an ankle bracelet later today. He cannot leave the state of Pennsylvania without permission. There was a hard push and seemingly a sensible one that he should have gone straight to jail.
Yeah, and then he had a little outburst.
And he had an outburst, right, because the prosecutor said, excuse me, Your Honor, Mr. Cosby has a private plane. He's a flight risk. And Cosby turned and hadn't said anything. And turned and yelled at the prosecutor, he doesn't have a plane, a-hole.
Right.
Said it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cosby walked out, didn't seem to need his cane so much.
Mm-mm. That was interesting.
Yeah, he hustled out of there, didn't he?
Walked like he was 50.
Yep.
It's another remarkable story. Next. This is disturbing. Two former NBC staffers is out of nowhere now. Have accused Tom Brokaw of sexual misconduct. We don't have the details in regards to specifics, but Brokaw's denying it, and we'll see where it goes from here. Next. Stock yesterday at Amazon went up, I think, about 10%. And in the course of 8 hours, Jeff Bezos was $12 billion richer. Anybody on this show make $12 billion yesterday? Debbie, did you make $12 billion yesterday?
No, only about a billion.
$12 billion in increased wealth in one day. That is a good Thursday.
And he took money out of all of our pockets if you're a Prime member.
Yep, $99 membership goes to $119 in the next couple of months.
Can I borrow your Prime later today? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Does he get paid every other Friday?
He does.
So today's probably payday for him, too.
They just posted it. Yeah. You say, you know, he got the email like the rest of us do. Check your pay statement. Yeah. It's online.
Do you guys all have Prime? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Love it.
Okay. Good. Love it. The best.
All right.
It's
good.
I'll
be coming here on the holidays.
It's a steal at $119. What are you waiting to sign up for?
Yeah, you're on Amazon every day.
I'm not on Amazon every day. I go on around the holidays.
Only between 6 and 10 in the morning. Yeah.
Why haven't you signed up? Because I just borrow other people's Primes.
Well, it's $119. Do it.
And one of the good positives of having Prime, in addition to free shipping, is you get the Prime Video. You can go on and use their video and music service.
Yeah,
there's a lot there.
Why don't we buy it for Andre? Well,
yeah, that'd
pitch
be a
in,
nice present.
Buy it for
great
her.
Idea.
When's your birthday?
August.
In August.
I don't see it happening, but thanks, Dave.
No, it could. Danny Farquhar is taking light walks and progressing positively. What do we know about this?
Yeah, he's been walking around
at the hospital
with his wife.
It's tremendous.
And he's continuing to make progress. I mean, think about it. It was a week ago tonight that it happened.
And as Dr. Mo said, had he not been in the company of EMTs and medical staff at that moment, he would not be here. A very, very fortunate situation in a very terrible event. And, you know, anything's possible. 31 years old and healthy, that certainly helps. But Danny Farquhar improving, which is great news. Well, speaking of improving, our friend John DeCoste on the mend, so we hope he's improving. He is improving.
Good.
So he should be back next week. And finally, the Bears drafted a linebacker, Roquan Smith, with the 8th pick overall. Your thoughts?
I think it's a good pick. I mean, you never know 2-3 years down the road, but I like it. Most people I've talked to.
This is linebacker university. Is he up to that?
Well, how about this? I mean, he rattled off last night. They asked him this, Steve, and he rattled off Butkus and Singletary, and I mean, guys who played long before he was even born.
Did he mention Urlacher?
He did some research.
What did he think of Urlacher's hair? Did he mention that?
Did not mention Brian Urlacher's hair. But I think he's going to be a nice fit. I think gives Vic Fangio another playmaker on defense.
So you like the pick? Need.
I do. Okay. I'd be curious to hear what Mr. Hampton thinks. I think Dan likes the pick. That's just my guess.
That's your prediction?
That's my prediction, is he'll be in a good mood.
He likes defense.
He does like defense.
He's a big fan of defense.
Yes, he is.
That's your top six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
And we've got a caller standing by. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? You know what today is?
Friday.
Friday, the start of Misericordia Candy Days.
Okay, plug it.
Plug it. It's today and tomorrow. I'm actually wearing my vest. I have my candy jar I'm collecting here at WGN Television. All the spare change as people are driving around in their car. You know what it is, Steve? It's going to damage your car. If you keep all that change in the car, like let's say you kept it inside that Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
Wow, that wasn't bad.
What?
Oh, really?
Seriously?
You know that change, the area where you keep all the change in the car?
Yeah.
You're going to damage the interior if you leave too much of it there.
That's a good point.
And so when you drive up and you see all these volunteers all over Chicagoland wearing the vests and wearing these little cans like this, you're going to get this lovely little package of the delicious Jelly Bellies fresh off of the line, delicious. They've been donating for, I think, the past 15 years, millions of jelly beans. You'll be helping one of the finest organizations in Chicagoland.
Great call by you, and please help. And it starts when?
Today, right now.
Right now, it's
all
happening.
Weekend, Friday, Saturday, you'll see volunteers all over Chicagoland.
If you want to swing by, I'll give you some money.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with this caller. Now, this is a this. Well, let me go. I'll explain it to you once I get him on. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Mark, does Patty often call for you? Are you like super important? Patty's your wife, I assume.
The first part of that is correct. The second part, not so much.
Yes, because Patty called and told Sandberg whatever they want to talk about here, and then she goes, "Hold on, I'm putting Mark on." All right, Mark, you're up, baby.
All right, well, I've heard Lou address this before, and this time I'm actually going to listen. We've got a lake house, so it's a place that we're often not at, and weekends, and maybe once a month in the winter. So it sits idle a lot, and suddenly we have a rotten egg smell from the hot water.
Oh, boy. Stand by, Mark, and we'll get an answer from Mr. Rotten Egg, 1994.
Well,
remember when you won?
Yeah, I do.
All right. What is his problem here?
I mean, when you're not using it and the water sits there, you know, there's a hot, the chemical makeup of the water because it's coming out of a well will change inside that water heater, even if you turn it off. And so it's a question of usage, and a whole house filter can help that as well. But it you just need to use it for, you know, probably, you know, a couple of days before it goes away. There's not anything you're going to do to change, like if you took the anode rod out of the water heater, it wouldn't really have an effect because of the fact the water is sitting. So it's just a question of when you come and open it up, you got to run everything for a little bit to kind of clear it all out. If you were to add a whole house filter, it would certainly help, and that's something you would have to change probably every 3 months.
So Mark, don't you have a neighbor or somebody that spends more time at the place, come over and crank your water on?
Most everybody there is in the same situation we are. It's kind of a weekend. It's close by. It's Lake Carroll. I don't know if you guys know.
You're like a good summer job for a kid. You just go house to house and turn the water on.
It's just a question of running the water.
Why couldn't that be a summer job? Why couldn't, years from now, a guy go, you know, when I was your age, I used to go to people's houses and turn their water on. Right? Why is that not a job?
That's a good idea. I can't even get anybody to do that to mow the lawn. You've got to get the services because there's no kids to do it.
Let me tell you something.
You have to have more kids.
Not just a pretty face, Mark. I know stuff. You've wanted April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your homes, but sadly, your home's air, but sadly, won't turn your water on. That's on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minutemen, 855-955-HVAC. Hold on, please. Sandberg, you're up.
So I sent a picture to Lou.
Of your dead tree?
It's not dead, Lou. It's flowering on all the branches except for the three that the giant deer eats every morning.
Yeah, that's good.
His paws...
It's like four of them that they're just chomping on.
I know, and he used to just eat the one, and now he's moved on to... And I've seen him. He's a big deer with horns. And he's got huge hooves and his little muddy.
Let me tell you what's offensive.
He's a buck.
Let me tell you what's offensive. Let me tell you what's offensive about this picture.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Steve. What kind of stores do I own?
Oh, stop. Okay,
Steve, what kind of stores do I own?
Well, you have Ace.
No.
She's got the lawn bags out there. You know that you put the leaves and debris in.
And where are they from?
The Home Depot.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you send the picture to the Home Depot? And see
I know.
Can help
I
you.
Know. It was
okay. Here you go. Don't go to the Home Depot to buy this. It's
a
product called Bonide.
Okay.
Repels.
Wait. Do you sell
all.
That at Ace?
We do.
Okay.
We do. Bonide repels all. Now those sticks that they've chewed, those branches, you're going to cut those off at the base.
Base.
They're
of
not
going
to come back.
Okay.
Well, you can see how they go all the way down. She sent me a picture of a flowering tree. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's really pretty, but he's eating
but
it.
But it sprouts a bunch of branches like from the bottom. There's several that come up, and like four of them, it looks like the deer are whittling it away.
It's like he's doing woodwork.
Right. So go ahead and cut those branches down at the base on an angle, and then use a little. There's a little tree repair tar that you can buy in a quart that you'll paint on just to protect it because now it's flowering and you don't want to shock it too much. And then spray this repels all on the little branches, and when the deer come, the he or the she, they're going to eat that and they're not going to like the flavor and they're going to go somewhere else.
Is he going to get angry?
He's not going to get angry. He's just going to leave.
What do you think? He's going to rush your house?
He's going to kick over those
Because I see him sometimes in the morning, and I don't want to have an encounter.
No, no, no. You don't want to mess with a buck.
Mm-mm. No. Do it in broad daylight. They won't be there.
Okay. Speaking of bucks, what does that problem have to do with Dave's buckthorn?
I don't know.
I just thought maybe they were connected.
No, I do want to mention, since you mentioned the Bonide.
Yep.
2 years ago, you recommended the Bonide Solar Spike to get rid of
the Sonic Spike.
The Sonic Spike. So but it's solar powered.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
so I moved it from one side of my deck the other day to the other side because something had burrowed under the deck.
Right.
There was a big hole. I covered up the hole. I put the spike there. It's working like a charm.
Amazing.
The hole has not come back.
Yeah, it really is. It makes a chattering noise underground that you don't hear, right, Dave?
No, it kind of sounds like this.
It's that quiet? Or it's this?
That. It sounds like that.
630 texter, Lou. I had the same problem with deer at our home. I solved the problem, shot the deer, and ate them.
See, well, there you go.
There you go.
Delicious. That's efficient. 630, I'm at a busy corner in Bolingbrook right now, getting ready to collect for Ms. Recordia. Drive safe.
God
give generously,
you.
Terry.
Yep. Way to go, Terry.
708, good morning, Lou. Good morning, Steve. My mom's garage is tilting. It's a tilted garage. That's that sports bar.
Actually, whether it's attached or detached, our friends over at PermaSeal offer structural services. If it's a detached garage, they may be able to write it by using their system called PolyLevel. If it's an attached garage, they can come down and put push piers in the ground and bring it back up once they drive these things literally down into the bedrock.
It's a conversation piece, though, a tilting garage.
Literally lift your house out of the ground.
708 said that there's tree roots that are a problem. That makes sense to you?
Tree roots are a problem. Where?
With the tilting garage.
Could be.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Does anyone else on the... Well, let me give you this one. Anyone else on the show, get ready. We have time for one more from the staff. Andrea, stand by. Question, Lou, what do you suggest is a cheap way to get packing materials for moving boxes after wrap something fragile?
Cheap way to get packing materials?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to tell you that the packing peanuts and stuff are not expensive at all. And
do you sell those at Ace?
We do, actually. But you can order giant bags of it online and or at many of the shipping stores, you know, like if you go to FedEx or...
Which probably should go to Ace.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how much they need, you know, it just depends. We have smaller bags of it.
Yeah, buy a bunch of small bags.
We could do that.
Do you have bubble wrap? Because bubble wrap's
We do
fun.
Have bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap's a good time.
It's a good one, yeah.
Popping it. You were popping bubble wrap in the hallway the other day.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I keep thinking, like a thing us old guys do.
I keep forgetting.
I want to bring bubble wrap over to hang out with Abigail.
Oh, yeah. That'll go over, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be
drive
cool.
her parents nuts.
And then just leave it when you leave.
Yeah. All right, last one.
All right, last one, Lou. I asked you this off the air, but I have two electrical outlets that I don't know if they need repairing or replacing, and you always say call a pro, right?
Correct.
That's my question to you. I need to still call
Hire
the electrician, right? I can't do this myself, right?
Well, I mean, the outlet stuff, the problem with electrical stuff, I'm always leery about giving people advice on that, because unless you have a healthy understanding about what's going on, the risk of getting shocked and or starting a fire is too great. And, there's plenty of people out there that can do it, but those are the ones that are not asking me.
Woodchucks keep coming back. I know I said we were done, but this time this listener's desperate. Woodchucks keep coming back. What are you doing for them?
Woodchucks, I would do a combination of what Dave talked about. That Sonic Spike can definitely help. It's inexpensive. It's about $16, $17. There's one version that you use batteries. The solar power is a little bit more expensive. And then this Repels All that I mentioned to Mary. The one I want Mary to use is a spray, but they also make a granular one that you can put on the ground. And so it's a scent that they do not like and will go away.
Does the Sonic Spike bother pets?
No.
Okay. What about that thing, the motion thing that sprays the
funny
grid?
Sprinkler? Yeah, I love that. The motion sprinkler is great.
So it's probably a good time to get that.
That's called Spray Away, and it's from the Have a Heart company.
Yeah, it's great to hit your neighbors
if
they're in your yard.
Hey, Jim. Oh, sorry.
Ms. Recordia, now.
Family Day, not Family Days, Candy Days today and tomorrow. Please be generous. God bless you all for participating. And remember that spare change is just going to put a hole in your pocket and ruin your car.
Yep. If you care about your laundry and your car.
Right.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Our own Vic Vaughn served this country with distinction, and he is now serving it again through his work here. Vic Vaughn is at Fort Benning, Georgia, in a sort of special event, a special weekend, alongside our videographer, Poe. Vic, what are you doing at Fort Benning?
What's happening, Steve? Thanks for having us on. We're with 30 Chicago and suburban educators. These are teachers and counselors, and with, I think, about 10 representatives from the United States Army.
Including United States Army Captain Gwen Murphy. Good morning, Captain Murphy. Captain Murphy, are you with me?
Try again.
Hey, good morning.
Sorry, that was my fault, Captain Murphy. This is why I'm not in the Army, because you'd like to be successful without me. Anyway, Captain Murphy, what do you think of Vic so far? Is he behaving?
So far. I mean, we have to keep close tabs on him, but he's doing well so far.
So what sort of paces will these folks be put through at Fort Benning?
So we're giving the educators the opportunity to actually meet with our newest soldiers here at Fort Benning. They're actually getting the opportunity to try out some of our tank simulators, and as well as actually talk with the basic trainees, understand what their day-to-day life is like, and how basic training has been treating them so far from the day that they get there through graduation.
They get to fire a tank, like the tank sim?
No, not an actual tank, but it's a tank simulator.
Yeah, but it's cool.
So they get to go in and actually, it's really cool, actually.
Wow, that's wild. And also, let me introduce CPS Assistant Principal Ish Phillips. And Ish, tell me first, what school are you Assistant Principal at?
I'm Assistant Principal at Hubbard High School.
Okay, and what do you think so far? Are you nervous?
No, actually, everything has been really wonderful. Meeting with the soldiers and hanging out with all of the various representatives, they are just wonderful individuals who have made us feel extremely comfortable and welcome in their environment.
What have you guys been, Vic and Ish, what have you been most impressed with? Something you thought, oh, I really want to do this, but something else just completely, you were just blown away with?
Actually meeting some of the young soldiers and talking to them about their reasons as to why they joined the military and what their plans are while they're in the military, as well as after they conclude their career.
And Vic, does this remind you at all of the early days?
Steve, when we were at the reception, they call it the reception center, I believe. I hope I got that correct. But that's where the troops first get introduced to the drill instructors. That brought back some memories, Steve, some not-so-good memories.
Yeah, did you immediately strip down to your whites and stand around in your underwear waiting for shots?
I showed up that way, and they sent me home.
Clothes on. You're a reporter, crying out loud. Captain Murphy, how big is the contingent? How many people are you working with here?
So here with the education tour, we have, again, about 30 educators. For the basic training unit, they'll have anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 soldiers going through that reception at one time.
It's pretty impressive.
That is. You guys were at the National Infantry Museum yesterday. Your pictures are so cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, Andrea, it was really a moving experience. Mike Poe has some great footage of this whole trip that we'll put up on the website. Everyone can see it there and see not only the museum, but the NCOs and the officers that were with. They're just very extremely professional people. I mean, you know how they are, and it's been amazing.
Now, Assistant Principal Ish Phillips has chosen a career path as an educator. Vic Vaughn comes back from the service and serving America. He's turned into a fine broadcaster. What about you, Captain Murphy? Tell us about you. Where are you from?
So I'm actually originally from the western suburbs, from West Chicago, mm-hmm. Here in Chicago. So it's nice to be
around home.
Sweet home Chicago. Yeah.
And so, how long have you been in?
I've been in for 6 years now.
Are you doing the 20? You going to be a career soldier?
So I always tell people I take it year by year. As long as I still love what I'm doing and I feel like I'm making a difference, I'll definitely stay around.
So does your job change? I mean, this is, to some extent, public relations and education, but does your job change year to year, or is it a longer gig?
So for recruiting for the company commanders, it is a 2-year tour. For our recruiters out there, it's a 3-year tour. Normally, assignments are anywhere from 2 to 4 years. They can go longer than that, sometimes shorter. And you rotate jobs normally every 12 to 24 months.
Well, you know, I'm 57 now, but I'm very patriotic. Is there anything you could use me for?
Definitely with the advertising aspect would be wonderful for us.
Okay, so just run my mouth. Is that really my main contribution?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Captain. Appreciate your honesty.
Oh, that's great. And I can't wait to see the pictures of the Humvee training, too. That was supposed to be pretty cool.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And Assistant Principal Ish Phillips, you seem very confident about this. Are you starting to take over this whole tour?
For me, no. That's not an option for me. I'm like a little slow to just be joining, but it's another opportunity for students.
And Vic, at any point, if you want to throw away your journalistic integrity and just start bossing people around because you've already served, feel free.
I think I'll keep my reporter ID. I like you, Steve. I've passed my prime.
No, not even close. Thank you to all of you. And Vic, where are we going to see these pictures and where are you going to report more on this?
Well, as soon as I get back, Mike and I will be hard at work getting all this footage up as soon as we can. And we'll put it out on social media so all of your listeners will know exactly when and where to find it. It'll be for sure at WGNRadio.com.
Thanks to all three of you, and keep up the good work. And Captain Murphy, thank you very much for your service. We'll take a break. Come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A couple of catch-up notes in just a second. First text question of the day. The president of the United States, one Donald J. Trump, admitted in a wacky interview on Fox yesterday that he didn't do much for Melania's birthday. Said he's busy.
Mm.
Yeah, of course he's busy.
Yeah, but gotta remember your wife's birthday. Goodness.
He's got a lot of people that could run over to Kohl's,
right.
Get her something.
Or to Tiffany, maybe.
He got her flowers and a card and sort of brushed it off.
That's it? Flowers and a card?
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
48. Is that right?
Yeah.
48? Yeah. So Melania, they don't look like they're exactly close at this point.
No.
So, you know, it's not like they're having a romantic dinner, just the two of them. But having said that, it did spur this text question. What's the crappiest birthday gift you ever got from your spouse or partner?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
312-981-7200. Text questions. And this is men or women. Worst birthday gift you ever got from your husband, wife, girlfriend, or boyfriend? Okay? 312-981-7200. You have one?
Does it have to be birthday?
Well, no. I mean, that's okay.
Because I've given some bad presents.
Now, have you learned through the years?
I think I've gotten wiser over the years. Certain things, like...
Are you going to say when you surprised her to go to Vegas and she hates Vegas?
Well, that was... She likes Vegas now, but the first time I took her, that was a surprise. That was very good, Mayor.
Why did she hate Vegas?
Well, she'd never been. And so
she hated
I just
the
had
idea
her.
Of Vegas.
She didn't know where we were going. So on her birthday, I took her to O'Hare, mm-hmm. had her sister come over to watch the baby. I take her to O'Hare. We're walking through Terminal 1, going past all the gates, and she still doesn't know where we're going.
Right.
So and she's seeing all these nice destinations
Hawaii.
That we come
to. How'd she know what to pack?
Miami. Well, no, her sister packed for her.
Uh-oh.
Oahu.
Yeah. Yeah, Las Vegas. And she's like, really?
French Riviera.
Oh.
She said, really?
That's kind of her reaction. But she had a great time, and she's been back many times since. And
always risky to surprise someone with a trip.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
My ex-husband, for a Christmas present, as you know, I don't care for Christmas presents, and it's not.
Right. It's just one of your little quirks.
I think maybe the first year we were married, I didn't want anything. We had gone over it, whatever, but a friend of ours told him that I was probably lying and I really wanted something, but it was a test. So on Christmas morning, he rolled out a bike and a mountain bike. And I'm like, what are you, my dad? Like, who gives somebody a bike?
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
No, it's not awesome unless you ask for it. Right. If you say, I really want a mountain bike.
Were you at the time a big cycler? Okay.
No, were you in need of exercise at the time?
No,
because I've gotten it, and I love that gift, but I bike a lot.
Let's be honest. Your team is fairly transparent. You will say what you want.
Oh, yeah, right. We will.
Yes.
And I had just gotten a really awesome bag that I had picked out earlier. No. And I tried to use it. I'm just not a bike person because I would like to ride a bike in a place where there's no cars. Mm-hmm. I get very uncomfortable.
You thought about a parking lot at an elementary school on the weekend?
A bike path, perhaps?
I was so angry. The bike path down here is one of the scariest places.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. You need, like, you know,
go out in the burbs.
Turn signals for this bike path.
Text question. Beat those. Worst gift for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, or a wife?
I got a good
one. Or you could confess. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say, I bought this and it wasn't great. You know what I'm saying? A couple of things. Both Ross and Amy Cochran are a big part of my day today. Later on tonight, Ross, speaking of good gifts, Ross and I are going to see Kathleen Madigan, one of my favorite comedians.
Oh, she's hilarious.
She's out at the College of DuPage.
Very cool.
So that'll be good. And Amy Cochran's going to be on later before Autism Awareness Month wraps up. She works with kids with autism every day. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about autism and what she does. So that's coming up. And Abigail Grace. Have I mentioned Abigail Grace on this show?
She's on the program today?
No.
Oh.
No. I just want to say her name.
It's two appearances
in
1 week.
Abigail Grace, I bring it up because she's got a new book that she likes, and this is courtesy of Steve Alexander.
Oh.
Steve Alexander is a publisher as well, along with many hats that he wears. But there's a woman named Erica Brannick, a preschool teacher who lost her leg in the Boston Marathon bombing. And when she went back to teaching at preschool, the little kids wanted to know what happened to her leg.
Oh.
So she decided to write a book. And the book is about a dragonfly that gets tossed about in a storm and loses a wing, spends time in a hospital, and then needs to be fitted with a prosthetic wing.
Ah,
explaining what happened.
That's a nice way to explain it to kids.
It's a cool deal. So we'll give you, a social media hit on this book or something so you can actually see it and go out and buy it and get two copies so you don't lose the first one. Text question, terrible birthday gifts in honor of Melania Trump. It's 7 o'clock, News Next, 720 WGN.
Please rise, court is now in session.
It's a special before-school edition of Karen Conti, who joins us now with all sorts of legal news breaking all over the place. Thanks for coming on, and let's remind people you're on Sunday night. When, Karen?
From 7 to 9, and I just want to know, do I get paid extra for this?
Zero. Just like our normal arrangement.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations to you. Cosby finally gets taken down by the only woman whose statute of limitations accusations hadn't run out. Is that accurate?
It sure is.
All right.
It sure is.
All right. So he's in Pennsylvania. Is he lucky this is Pennsylvania compared to the crimes he committed allegedly in California and New York and other places?
Well, they're all different. The laws are all different. The sentencing rules are all different. But this was the only state where they could get a conviction against him, even a charge against him, because the statute is very liberal in that state. So he's unlucky, we'll remain to see what's going to happen with his sentence and a possible appeal.
Are you surprised he didn't stay? He wasn't remanded to custody immediately?
No. Usually, it's you get the sentencing first, and then you are remanded to custody. He has $1 million bail. He's a public figure. I think they think he's going to stick around, and I'm not surprised at that at all.
Quite a bit has been made of his outburst about, I don't have a private plane, a-hole. I assume you've seen plenty of those in court in your day.
Absolutely. People are very emotional, and usually the victim is very emotional. In this case, Constan apparently was not. But emotions run high. This is a lot at stake, and there's a lot of anger and a lot of passion. And, you know, this whole thing is very, very interesting, Steve, because of course, I'm not in the courtroom, so I can't say that I saw all of it. But what it seemed to me was the defense lawyers were really obnoxious. They went after Constan. They not only went after her, they went after the five accusers, calling them all kinds of things like aging models and con artists. And, you know, as a lawyer, Steve, you are representing a client who may not even get to speak to the jury. So you, for all intents and purposes, are the client. And if you're not likable and you're not credible and you're being obnoxious, then the jury can take that out on your client. And sure. I wonder if that's what happened here, because there's no reason to do that. Obviously, you want to be aggressive. You want to question someone on cross-examination. You want to make them look like they have an agenda. You can do all of that, but you can do it in a way that doesn't go after them so personally that the jury might have just felt a lot of sympathy for them.
Can difference between a bad lawyer and a good lawyer.
Right. Can a judge take that into consideration, though, Karen? Can a judge see the outburst from Cosby, or the other day, I think the defense attorney fell asleep with his mouth open. Can the judge see these actions and say no bail?
Yeah, but I don't think that goes to no bail. No bail is he going to get on an airplane and go somewhere? I'm sure they have his passport. They've got money secured for his return. And that's not a consideration, not how he acts. No, it's really just they don't want him to be a flight risk. That's the most important factor.
Is he got grounds for an appeal here?
You know, he does. And the grounds for appeal, this happened a long time ago, but back when Constant was bringing the civil suit, the prosecutor said to Cosby, if you testify in that civil suit and give truthful testimony, we're not going to prosecute you. So that was years ago, like 12 years ago. And lo and behold, all these years later, a new prosecutor is in place, and the prosecutor brings these charges. And Cosby brought all kinds of motions and argued like crazy that that's not fair. I made a deal with you. I testified. And not only did I testify, but the testimony was used against me in the criminal court. So I never would have done that, but for the fact that you told me I wasn't going to be prosecuted. So again, I think Cosby's guilty. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in jail, but that's a really good grounds for appeal.
Think his chances are decent?
I do. I actually do, because I've never seen anything quite like
it,
where
weird.
There's a promise not to prosecute, and basically, and you know, listen, everyone is making their careers on this. They're using him as a Me Too movement, example.
Symbol, yeah.
And so everything's high here. Everyone's telling me, oh, he's not going to go to jail because he's 80. Well, I don't think so. And I don't think this judge is going to say, because he's a celebrity, because he's 80, we're not putting him in jail. I think the judge is going to do it.
Would he be out pending appeal, post-sentence?
No, usually not, unless the judge determines there's a really good ground for appeal. So generally speaking, he'll stay out until sentencing. He will get sentenced, and normally speaking, they will either take him into custody that day, or they'll give him 30 days to get his affairs in order, and then he'll be taken in.
What do you think he'll get sentence-wise?
My guess is somewhere between 2 and 5 years. And again, being 80 years old, being of ill health.
Yeah, it can still be a life
sentence. Prison is not healthy for people. You don't get fresh air. You don't get good food. It's very stressful. He's not going to be in a cushy place. And that's another thing people are saying. Is he going to go away to one of these pens like Blagojevich? No. I mean, he's a violent criminal. If you look at his Wikipedia this morning, I put him in Wikipedia, and he's a convicted sex offender.
Yeah, how about
that?
So
these people do not go to jail in cushy places. They go with the rest of the riffraff.
There's much more news that has encompassed our lives since all of this came up in earnest in the past couple of years. It's been floating around for years, and the rumors existed before that. And even though it's still tough to wrap our heads around the fact that Bill Cosby is a sex criminal, he, in fact, is now, and I certainly have no sympathy for him, and he deserves what he gets. But while it would be a shame if he got out on a technicality or got out of this on a technicality, I certainly hope the women who were abused see some justice in what they've put him through so far.
Well, and that's right. And I think that a lot of victims will tell you that this whole process is cathartic. It's like the girls in the Nassar case where they came in and got to say their piece.
Right.
And, you know, that's another thing. Would it be interesting if the judge allowed some of the other accusers of the 60 that have come forward to actually come in and talk at sentencing about what he did to them? That could very well happen.
Yeah, I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again. The Me Too movement isn't entirely dependent on men behaving better, but we sure have a role to play. And until men stand up and not only stop laughing at guys who talk like this, and I will tell you again, it is the vast minority. You know, guys don't get together and hear about some guy forcing sex on a woman. It just doesn't happen. But when you hear about it or you see it, you have to stand up as a man and put a stop to it. Otherwise, you are the problem. And until men do that, this is going to continue.
Absolutely.
So thanks for the information on that. Let me shift you for a second here. Donald Trump, the president of these United States, goes on Fox and Friends yesterday in a rambling 30-minute phone interview that the host had to end because he would have kept talking. I'm not kidding about that. And during the course of it, he describes Michael Cohen as a small part of his empire, someone who has a tiny fraction of his overall legal work and only represented him in a few things, like that crazy Stormy Daniels thing. Whereas recently as a couple of weeks ago, he said, didn't know anything about it, didn't know anything about the payment. What sort of problem has he created for himself?
It's not so much in what he said, it's the inconsistency of what he has said in the past. And listen, lying to the government is a crime. Lying under oath is perjury, and that's also a crime. And listen, who went down for that? Clinton was impeached for lying in a civil deposition about sex. Martha Stewart was put in jail for lying to the government. So here's what you have to think down the line. Someday he's going to be deposed, whether it's in the civil case of Stormy Daniels, whether the government is going to be interviewing him. And what I would do as a lawyer, I would have 17 different transcripts where Trump said 17 different things on 17 different occasions. And I would say to Mr. Trump, President Trump, did you say this? Was it true? Did you say this? Was it true? And you get him some point in time, he's going to have to either lie or tell the truth or explain his inconsistencies. And this is what, this is where they get him for perjury or for lying to a government agent. Not so much what he says outside the courtroom, but what he's going to say inside a courtroom or inside a governmental agency.
And do you ever advise a client to plead the fifth? And what are your general thoughts about that as a legal strategy?
It is a good legal strategy. The problem in, when you're a public figure is no one wants to plead the fifth because that looks like you're guilty. And I would imagine that Trump would have a very hard time following a lawyer's orders saying, listen, you're going to go to jail unless you just plead the fifth. Some commentators said watching Trump is like watching a toddler play in traffic.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, that's exactly true. I mean, he is just walking all over you know, he's walking all over the place and he's opening himself up for all kinds of problems. And he's not going to listen to his lawyers. And my guess is he's not going to plead the fifth in anything.
Last question. Michael Cohen has been a very loyal guy. The loyalty with this president goes one way. We've seen that over and over and over again. And there's a story in The Washington Post this morning that, frankly, it's kind of sad to read because it talks about how many times Trump has treated Cohen ridiculously poorly while Cohen has laid his reputation and his future now legally and criminally out there in, on behalf of Donald Trump. Didn't bring him to Washington. Didn't give him a job he was promised. Went to Michael Cohen's son's bar mitzvah late and then talked about the only reason he came is because Michael begged him to come. Those sorts of things, which say a lot about who he is as a person. But that also says if a guy is in a position to hurt you, Michael Cohen would certainly seem to be it. Is he someone who could damage him based on what we know? And granted, it's limited. If he were to flip,
yeah, he could damage Trump. And was one thing to your point, not a legal comment, but listen, Cohen and the Cohens of the world like to be around power.
Right.
They want to be around people, and they're going to hang around just in case some of the crumbs fall off. And you know, if you hang around a Donald Trump, you know, you got problems because he's a problematic guy, and you can't expect loyalty. You're right. I mean, just from what we know in the press, he doesn't extend loyalty to the people who are loyal to him. So that was the wrong move there. To expect that. But clearly, see, now he's sort of in a position where he might want to flip, but on the other hand, President Trump could pardon him. So, depending on what the crime is, if it's right. A federal crime, Trump could pardon him. So he's got to walk a line here.
My last question, $130,000 paid by Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels for her silence. My understanding is if you were to go to work for me as an attorney and make a payment like that, you have to disclose that to me as my representative. Trump yesterday said that Cohen was his representative in the Stormy Daniels case. Doesn't that tie this all together, and doesn't that create bigger problems for both of them?
It does. It creates the problem that it might be a campaign donation. And Trump was the principal and Cohen was the agent. So they both might have some culpability. But mark my words on this. I don't think Michael Cohen's bad behavior is really in that payment. I think the government is going after him for lots of other things. He's been involved right. in lots of business dealings that are a little shady, some of them having to do with Russia. And I think they have bigger fish to fry with him.
Great stuff as always, Karen. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Karen Conti, Sunday night on WGN. And, of course, you can call her at her office as well and get the legal help you may need.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
President Trump admitted he didn't do much for Melania's birthday. So in honor of Melania, the first lady, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, got you a crappy gift. What was it?
Oh, my God. 21st birthday. The guy that I was dating got me a big box. So I opened it. Looked like one of those old-fashioned hat boxes. So I opened it up. It was an 8x10 picture of him. I'm not kidding. 21st birthday. But then there was more. There was a teeny little keychain with the same picture of him and that, too.
Boy, he must have been hot. He was so hot, he couldn't help but give out gifts of pictures of himself.
21st birthday.
What happened to this narcissist?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. You want to name him?
No.
All right. 6'3", I surprised my husband for his 50th. I flew my niece out from Arizona to babysit the kids, and we flew off to Miami, thinking it was just the two of us. We have a cruise ship for the next day where all of our childhood friends were there to help him celebrate the big day. Sadly, the cruise was not the best because we were sailing around a hurricane and a tropical storm.
Oh.
That's not her fault.
Yeah, no, you can't blame the weather.
847, gift card to Jewel. Hey, honey, while you're there, get some beer, huh?
Although it's practical.
224, I think Vandeveld may have a burner phone.
Uh-oh.
Listen to this one.
Okay.
Does having to make your own birthday cake count?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
like a Vandeveld.
Because it is the best one when you make it yourself.
630, my husband bought me a Bissell carpet spot cleaner. 29 years later, we're still together, and he's a little smarter. Yeah, generally speaking, unless she asks for it, if it plugs in, don't buy it for a birthday.
It's funny, though, moms will say that, because I would always say to my mom, what do you want for your birthday? And she'd say, oh, like a Kleenex dispenser,
uh-huh.
or we need, you uh-huh. know, a teapot.
Something. Well, you get your mom some of the plugs in,
yeah.
but your significant other?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
309, he gave me dish towels. He's my ex-husband.
Wow.
630, I asked jokingly for a Harley. I got an elliptical machine 3 years ago. Still haven't used it.
Oh, clothes hanger.
We call the machine Harley. I guess I'm close. And 708, my wife smashed a statue I'd given her in a fit of anger. She bought me a replacement statue for my birthday. I guess I'd like to know what the statue is.
I know, I would too.
Right? Much more of these coming. Bad birthday gifts. 312-981-7200. Let's get to the news.
Tagovailoa tries to dodge the rush. Cannot escape. Sacked by Roquan Smith, the Butkus Award winner.
With the 8th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Roquan Smith. Linebacker, Georgia.
It's a great franchise, you know, have a lot of rich tradition, especially on defense, you know, with big bunches. Then you have Mike Singletary, Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, all those type guys. So it's insane. I'm excited.
How about them dogs? An animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The big man's back. And we got Roquan. I like the fact, Dan Hampton, that the kid did his homework. He was talking about the old guys.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you're exactly right. I was kind of impressed. I mean, he goes all the way back to Butkus. You know, of course, named the great Mike Singletary and Urlacher. But here's the thing. I think it's kind of cute that his first name is sort of like Roquan, you know? I mean,
there is no chance that Roquan will ever play linebacker. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah. In Madden, he'll play in the
right.
Madden.
Yeah.
Hey, but I got to tell you, he's a good player. He wasn't a player I would have taken, and it was kind of interesting in the sense that the last couple of drafts, Ryan Pace has kind of went outside the box and moved up and got Trubisky, and then drafted a diminutive running back and a tight end from a Division III school. Well, this was almost like, okay, do it by the boxes. This is, you know, what everybody says is the best player. But the only thing I'm saying is, you know, you only have so many picks, only so many high picks. And if you're a good team, you're going to be picking 22, 28 or something. So you only get a chance to get inside the top 10 once in a while. You got to make it really count. And we need pass rusher. You know, we need receiver. And this kid, he's going to be a 10-year starter, and he'll be fine. But, you know, last year when we had Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, they were playing about as good as any inside linebackers in football. What did we win? Nothing. So I'm just saying, we need – I think pass rush and, you know, we need more impact-type players. And at some point, you know, we'll hopefully scrape some up, find some. But, again, this is the bona fide pick. Everybody in the NFL would say, okay, that's the next best player. Take him. That's what we did.
So are you saying, Hamp, you would have tried to trade up for Bradley Chubb, maybe? Some, a guy like that?
Well, if you're going to trade up, and we all, you know, it's basically been documented that it was a needless effort to move up to get Trubisky. You know, 99% chance he still would have been there when we drafted a year ago. Well, Chubb was the guy that you'd want to try to make a move for. He was far and away the best defensive edge rusher in this draft. But there was a kid, you know, the Virginia Tech kid, Edmonds.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds.
I'm telling you, I watched him a lot on film, and he looked like a big Lawrence Taylor to me. And he was the guy I would have thought we would have, you know, obviously taken. But, again, you know, when you're criticized an awful lot and the general manager, you know, what's his fourth draft now for Ryan Pace, at some point you kind of get sick of the criticism. And you say, okay, I'm going to take who everybody else would take. Well, it didn't necessarily, in my mind, it really didn't fit. We got Kwiatkowski. We got Trevathan. You know, we need edge rushers and receivers, but we'll find out how it all pays out in the final total.
I know you're tight on time. Of all the picks made, anything really surprise you or anybody that you went, wow, that's a good move?
Baker Mayfield. Guys, you know, I told my son, I said, you want to hear a story? This kid walked on at Texas Tech. They basically gave him the flag, and he left, and he walked on at Oklahoma. And what does he do? He puts them in position to make a run at the national championship. He wins the Heisman Trophy. And this is from a kid that, coming out of high school, nobody wanted to touch. And now he's the first pick in the NFL draft. Whether or not Cleveland is correct or not, it's still an amazing accomplishment. And it knocked me over with a feather. I mean, you know, they had the bona fide, superstars, Darnold and Rosen and Allen, all those big 6'5", you know, quarterbacks, and Baker Mayfield is the player that at least the Cleveland Browns said is the best player on the board, and we can't live without him. I that's a success story in anybody's book.
What are the chances the Browns can screw that up?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, you know, and after the Johnny Manziel disaster, you think, well, that's the last thing they'd want to do. They must have done their homework and feel very confident. This kid doesn't have, you know, that kind of psychosis problem. He really does want to win. It's not about him. It's about winning. And if you can find up players who want to win, next thing you know, you're winning.
I know you got to run. Last word, Dave.
All right, the Bears have one pick on day two, at least at the moment. That's the seventh pick, 39th overall on the second round, which gets going at 6 o'clock tonight. I think you kind of alluded to this, Hamp, but if you're Ryan Pace, where do you go in round two?
Again, we got to figure out a way to rush the passer. Think about this. You saw the New Orleans Saints trade up and move up to get what? A project pass rusher, because they felt like they would have been in the Super Bowl if the quarterback up in Minnesota didn't have 6 seconds to run around and heave a Hail Mary. So they're thinking, hey, we got to, you know, every team, and again, you got to go back to what's every team has to have a quarterback. Well, the same thing on the other side. You got to have somebody to go get the quarterback. Right now, Leonard Floyd, on paper, is the only thing we got that's even halfway a legitimate pass rusher. We've got to find some other ones. You know, guess what? Willie's gone. McPhee's gone. We've got to find somebody today. And if we don't, then we got – hey, think about this. We've got Stafford. We've got, you know, Mr. Wonderful up in Green Bay. Now we've got Cousins up in Minnesota. We better find a pass rusher today.
Hamp and his pals, Saturday. We don't know what time. It'll be between the White Sox games and a doubleheader.
Probably five-ish, okay. We would guess.
Yeah. And they'll have further analysis of all of this and food for them and yelling at you. All coming up on Saturday.
And one last thing, and you know what? The great Ed Obradovich and Kaz and I, we need this because we have been suffering since the last game of the season from football alienation relief treatment. We've been getting therapy, but there's an acronym for that.
Football I got it.
Alienation
Relief. F-A. Oh, yeah. I got it.
Tomorrow.
Got it. Have a great day, buddy. Thank you. And go Bears. Bears. Football Alienation Relief.
I think we got it.
I got it. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
President Trump should be tweeting and celebrating the fact that Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in, the presidents of North Korea and South Korea, got together. Now, keep in mind, Kim Jong-un is the guy that killed his half-brother and an uncle viciously, so it's not like he is the one to put all of your trust in. We don't know how China feels about this. We don't know about the refugee situation in North Korea, if all this comes together. But it is good news for the world and for the people of South Korea in particular, not just North Korea, that the heat has dropped. And the president should be taking credit for this. Takes credit for a lot of things. Should be taking credit for this as opposed to tweeting about everything else. But yesterday during a rambling, wild Fox and Friends interview, he said he didn't do much for Melania for her birthday. Didn't have a lot of time. Got her a card and flowers.
God.
So, in honor of Melania, the First Lady, crappy birthday gifts from him or her. 630, my ex-husband gave me blank VHS tapes to record my favorite shows. He also gave me replacement batteries for my Walkman. Oh, that's hot. 815, as a younger man, I learned, never buy your wife a vacuum cleaner for any present ever.
Oh,
okay.
Did you do that?
May I? A Roomba. I thought she would love it.
Oh, dude.
I thought she would love it, but then she had to watch where the Roomba went.
Should have called me. That's actually not the only reason she didn't like the gift.
Probably not.
Did the dog like it?
Boy.
No, the dog kind of barked at it.
Yeah, big win.
Caused more commotion.
630, an old boyfriend stopped at Salt Creek on the way over, caught two frogs, wrapped them up in a box. When they jumped out, my Italian grandma chased them with a broom. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Who puts frogs in a box?
No.
That's Jim weird. Stafford. You old enough? How many of you old enough to understand the Jim Stafford reference? No? Okay. 608, when my husband and I were dating, he gave me a stepladder and socks. I don't know. She married him anyway. 815, my ex-boyfriend gave me a cookie jar shaped like a cow to get a cookie the head tilted back in the cow mood.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, I have that. Up at the cabin.
He's on the burner phone.
You said that out loud. It's awesome. Just so you're clear. 6-year-old, my boyfriend of 2 years gave me bath towels for my birthday. When I told my mother, she goes, you ain't going to get that as a ring on your finger. Can't put those bath towels on your finger.
Uh-huh.
563, love the show. My husband, now my ex, got me a litter box, an electronic one, plus nice plush towels from Bob Marriott. He took it from the hotel. I was speechless. My mom and sister were like, really?
So he stole the hotels and then they gave the towels to her as a gift?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not cool.
847, my husband got me an iron for my birthday. No.
Mm-mm.
No, I gotta say no. 608, a battery storage holder that would test the battery to see if there was any power left.
Okay, that's sort of cool. That's more like a gadget, though.
No, it's not.
Just go buy new batteries.
847, 6 weeks after our first child was born, my husband got me a t-shirt with flowers on it. That was my birthday, and yeah, that's it.
Oh, God.
815, a bag of Doritos from the back of his car, and they've been stepped on. No, that can't
Come
be
on.
True. 815, 25 pounds of Tide.
Okay, there are some who shall remain nameless who I think would enjoy that as a gift.
25 pounds of Tide for Sandberg would be an aphrodisiac
Look
from
at her
husband.
And she goes through that in a week.
She's giddy, though. She liked that.
Well, know your partner.
Exactly.
Right? 847, a new vacuum cleaner. Have we covered this? Yeah. That's not what we want. And 630, present? Nothing.
That's the worst.
It's not good. Not good. Not good. Thinking of me much? Not so much. Minute before 8, Steve coming up with the news. Standby for that. Dean on the way as well. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Sponsored by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center. Hello, Dean.
Good morning. Good morning.
And good morning.
And with a big dental implant smile, good morning.
So we've got quite a news day going on, as you know. Possible peace in the Koreas.
You trust that?
No, it's early. But I think it's very cool that it's what's happened so far. I think it's extremely cool.
I hope when they sign the documents that they play that song Gangnam Style. North Korean.
He was South Korean, wasn't he? He must have been South Korean.
K-pop is very big, this South Korean music genre.
Is it?
Yeah, very
big. But what about that Gangnam Style guy? I'm fascinated by him.
The Gangnam Style.
It was Psy.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like Kim Jong-un.
He does, kind of.
He does.
Yeah, he sort of does. That's a good point.
That may have been him.
Wouldn't it be funny if that's how he broke out? He just wanted a couple of months to himself, so he went and competed. Mm. That song was a huge hit, too, wasn't it?
Hey, sexy lady.
Gangnam Style. And then we all dance. Somehow I don't see that as the key to peace.
Bong, 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 bong.
But the other thing that's in the news yesterday was the president's bat-esque crazy interview that he did on Fox News.
That was nuts.
And he talked about how he didn't do much for Melania's birthday. So in honor of the First Lady, today we're doing crappy birthday presents that you got.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a text question. 630, People Magazine for Mother's Day from my husband. Not birthday, Mother's Day, but still.
I got to say, that's a great gift.
It is. It's expensive.
It's about
I don't think it was a subscription.
Oh,
I think
just
it was one People magazine.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. If
that's
it's
like,
a subscription,
what, $3 or something?
Okay.
708. 1 year I got a spreader for the lawn.
Nothing.
Nothing says foreplay quite like a lawn spreader.
Mm-hmm. See how much grass they have in front of the White House? That's very practical.
941. A broom and a dustpan. Yeah. Who gets a woman a broom and a dustpan?
Nice.
Unless she asks for it. Look at Mary. Come on, Mary's chomping at the bit. Look at
wicked
she's
stepmother.
Excited.
630, when I was married in 22, I got a dozen red roses. Then I opened the card. Found out they were free from the store where we bought our new TV.
No. So is regifting,
you know, a bad gift and an idiot, that's not a good combination.
Is regifting bad, though? Because I would think beautiful flowers.
Are beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
No, but regifting, come on.
I know.
What's better than a gift you don't have to pay for?
Dean and I invested a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Dean and I invested a long time ago in a business which I think everybody will understand. It's called Holy Crap, That's Today. And on every exit, on every highway, you can pull up and it's a kiosk. And you can buy everything from a romantic dinner, candles, to jewelry and more.
Flowers.
I can't even tell you the number of family members of mine that have Don Quixote blankets.
Well, of course they do.
Ponchos, yeah.
Let's see, 815. 20 years ago, I bought my wife a new lawnmower. She was thrilled, but then mad because I kept showing her how to use it, and I wouldn't let her use it. Still have the mower, and she still has me. Wow, what a sweet story.
Aww.
That's delightful. 219, just as important to know your giver, my husband will give you the shirt off his back. And if I don't tell him I don't want the shirt off his back, he'll give me the shirt off his back. That's nice. In 708, worst gift, opera tickets from an old girlfriend. At intermission, she asked what I thought. I said, there's now three things certain in life. There's death, there's taxes, and it's certain that Opie Taylor's not going to walk in, turn to his friend, and say, hey, Bernice, swinging party. And she dumped him. 847, a Tupperware organizer. You remember Tupperware?
Mm-hmm.
Love Tupperware.
We still have Tupperware.
Yeah.
I guess well, just you and me, Mary.
Well, it's a, for a birthday.
I have Tupperware. Although I have shifted to glass storage containers.
Yeah, us too.
Or Gladware. Everyone has that.
847, my husband got me a gift certificate for a pedicure. By the way, he knows I hate having my feet touched.
See, I like a little spa gift card.
Have you ever had a foot massage pedicure, Steve?
I have. I had a pedicure and a manicure.
Yeah.
And the
you didn't find the foot massage.
Oh, it's tremendous. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's just ridiculous. And by the way, the manicure and the hand massage,
fantastic.
Ridiculous as
Isn't
well.
It great?
I told you the story.
Yeah.
They spun me around. I looked in the mirror. I had the Judy Jetson thing on my head. This is when I still had hair.
Uh-huh.
Drying out my hair. I had the manicure going on, the pedicure. I looked in the mirror and I said, thank God my dad's dead. This would kill him.
The man spa. There are more. When I go get a pedicure, there are more and more men sitting in the chair nowadays than I've ever seen before.
And little kids. Little kids are getting them, too.
Doesn't make
Their
it
Their moms
okay.
bring What's, them in. I'm
I
like,
know,
what?
I see a lot of men.
What's the thing where they put, it's the pedicure where you put your feet in water and there's a little fish?
Piranha? Yeah, the piranha chew off the dead skin.
Chew off the skin.
Dean, you did that, right?
I did that in Greece. They have places, they're called foot spas, I think. I think that's what they're called. And there's these little tanks. I don't know what kind of fish they are.
Piranha.
But you put your feet in these tanks and they start eating the skin on your feet. And it's a tingly, it feels like a very mild electric shock.
It's like an old country buffet for the fish.
I could say my feet were so smooth when they came out of there. Steve, you could eat off my feet when they came out.
Oh, the fish already had that feast.
Sorry, I brought this back. I just got a little sick.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Coming up, Bill Cosby, the Emmys, ABBA, and Avengers Infinity War.
You'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
All right, I guess we'll start here. There's new ABBA music.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean?
I just was not, you know, I used to
Dancing
play it.
Dancing Queen.
I used to play it on the radio.
Winner Takes It All.
You know,
ABBA Mia.
SOS.
Here I go again.
So I'm excited about it. Tell me more.
Listen to this for classic. Classic right here.
1470 WTKO. Bright and sunny today. High 65. And here's ABBA.
You still got it.
Haven't lost a step.
Seeing a young Dean and faces on Rush Street in my lime green leisure suit. Sweating up a storm.
Yeah.
Partially because I was dancing, partially because I was wearing a leisure suit.
That polyester doesn't breathe,
baby.
Does
not breathe very well. No, ABBA, they've recorded two new songs. Their first new music in over 30 years. On their official website, they said that doing these new songs was an unexpected consequence of a recent decision to put together a virtual reality tour, not them in concert, but, you know, these shows that you go to, like, you know, these bands that do music of popular groups. This was them appearing to be performing through hologram. And they said that they got back in the studio to do that.
Wait, it felt like time stood still. Hold on a second.
What?
Who's paying for that?
Some production company.
But then what are they doing with the holograms?
Well, they're touring it around the country.
So then I would pay to go into a room and watch a hologram of ABBA?
It's kind of like the Michael Jackson thing in Vegas.
Yeah.
But ABBA's not dead.
No, but they're not touring either.
Yeah,
the only way to see them perform would be through this hologram.
This is why their horrible musical is just such a hideous movie.
They said, Steve, that it was like time stood still.
Come on, you gotta love ABBA.
I don't have to do anything.
Well, it's going to, they haven't said when these songs are going to be released exactly, but it will be part of a special TV broadcast.
Yeah, I couldn't wait.
In December, that'll be on the BBC and NBC.
Fantastic.
Come on. Really?
You hate the movie as well.
I hated the movie version, but I love the stage version.
Me too.
Of Mamma Mia.
You need to see the stage
You're
version
right.
of Mamma Mia.
You're right. It must be me.
If
it's
people
so
who
good.
Can sing do the songs, then I like it.
Right.
But if, you know, you get Pierce Brosnan in there, that messes up the whole deal.
My dream is to have Russell Crowe and Pierce Brosnan and me stuck in an elevator while the three of us sing.
I would like to get them together in a hologram to do "You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore."
Who's going to host the Emmys?
A Mamma Mia 2 that's coming out.
Yeah, I know.
In a couple
that's
of months,
probably
again.
Part of the reason for my bitterness.
Cannot wait for this.
Who's going to host the Emmys?
It is going to be the Weekend Update team from Saturday Night Live. Hmm. Colin Jost.
Yeah.
How do you say his name?
Colin Jost.
And Michael Che.
Okay. I think I'd do it behind a desk.
In person? No, I don't know. or by hologram. I'm pushing for everyone to do holograms from now on.
Colin Jost is dating one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not bad.
She was on the show, and suddenly Colin Jost and she were an item.
Guest appear. That's happened on Steve's show a couple of times.
Yep. Remember. Yeah, remember when Bill Nye the Science Guy was on and suddenly we were...
remember when Pam Zuckerman was a guest on your show that once?
Yeah, boy, the tabloids had a field day with that, didn't they? The Bill Cosby thing, your thoughts? Exactly.
I think it's horrible. It's messy. It's so sad in so many ways. First and foremost, the amount of abuse that has apparently taken place here, that it's taken so long to reconcile all of this and finally bring this to court after decades of denial, that yesterday's verdict came down, which he was charged with 3 counts of sexual assault. I think it's... I just think it's sad. I mean, even for the accusers who won their legal battle yesterday, it's still a horrible thing that's happened.
You know, there is a show business piece of this that nobody's discussed, and that is there's a large amount of money tied up in Cosby business, whether it's reruns of the old show, rights to movies and things of that nature. All of that product would be seemingly worthless now.
Well, the Bounce TV network, the cable channel, pulled all the Cosby episodes. So there's a lot of money involved in that. But also, all of the actors who were on that show got residual money from the reruns for, any episode that was rerun. That will now stop. They'll lose all of that. And... I don't want to say that I feel sorry for Bill Cosby, but I mean, what it looks like, it obviously will depend on what happens in the appeal. He's probably going to spend the rest of his life in jail, and this, this one-time image of fatherhood in America is completely destroyed. It makes me sad that somebody who really did do a lot of good for black colleges in particular, for encouraging people as being a role model that you can be something more, is completely destroyed while he was leading this hidden life. It just makes me very, very sad that how all of this
it's a kind of a slow nausea for the whole thing. You know, the other thing nobody's discussed, for obvious reasons, because frankly it's icky. Why was this a turn-on for Cosby?
Oh, God.
Why was this the thing for him? Is there some psychological study that's been done about that?
Is it control? Is it...
Well, yeah, because it's got to be, right? Because it's a different form of rape.
Right.
He's Bill Cosby. And I have no doubt that there were probably people throwing themselves at him because he was Bill Cosby and probably could have... If he wanted to cheat on his wife, probably could have picked anybody who was coming along. I have no doubt that that happened. Why he needed to drug people and rape them is
just bizarre.
To Steve's point, it's beyond any kind of logic to me.
This is the kind of thing where, serial killers live amongst us, and they compartmentalize their lives this way.
Right.
That's the type of brain it takes for this, and the damage that's there. It's really amazing.
It's sick.
All right, let me move to the movie review of the weekend. You love this Avengers movie.
It's spectacular. It's massive. It's entertainment times 10. The movie making in this is fantastic. The storytelling in this is so great, in which it's an exciting evil, a pure evil versus the good guys story, what you want in your superhero movie. But in typical Marvel Comics universe fashion, they not only tell an exciting story like that, but it's one with a strong moral compass to it, one with a social message that I won't tell you what that is, because I just don't want to give any secrets away on this. I want you to enjoy every second, but this movie definitely has that to it. Josh Brolin is great as the villain. You know, go down the list of all your favorite Marvel superheroes. They're all there. 29 superheroes in this movie from the 18 films that have come out over the past 10 years. They are all there in one way or the other. It's kind of fun, really, watching the movie and wondering who's going to pop up next. You remember the old film, It's a Mad, 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 sure. Mad World, where everybody was in it.
Yep.
Anyone who was in show business was in this movie, and it was fun to say, oh, look, there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. Same thing in this movie. It's that same kind of thing. It's 2 hours and 36 minutes long. It shoots by. It does not feel like a super long movie in any way, and there are tons of shocks and surprises, the spoilers about which you dare not speak. Don't ruin it for anybody else. Let them also enjoy this movie. The only flaw that bothered me in this movie is that you really have to be way into the Marvel Comics universe to fully appreciate all the nuances of this film. If you're not, you'll still enjoy the movie, but not as much as the people who, you know, have lived and breathed Marvel Comics since the day they were born, and they know every reference and every costume and every everything. This movie is geared for them. Not sure that it's fair to everybody else, but it's not a major deal. I'm still giving it a big fat Dean's List A.
All right, and are you on the radio Sunday?
I am, with my one-on-one interviews with the cast of Avengers.
It's our friend Dean Richards.
In Uncle hologram.
Dean.
Whole
Uncle
show's in
Dean.
Hologram.
The whole thing is in hologram. It's unbelievable. Yeah. All right, buddy. See ya. We'll be back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A rough stretch for our White Sox. Coming out of the fog a little bit last night with a long ball, and we like it as Steve Stone joins us. Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you?
I am just delightful. A win, and this is important. It was 67 degrees at game time, so we actually broadcast with no mufflers on, no jackets on, no earmuffs on. It was just delightful.
Matt Davidson, couple of home runs. Listen, you know, for years and years and years, and then you know what else, Steve? Years. I've always heard if these power guys, if they just cut their swing down just a touch, is that an issue for him?
I think that home run hitters will always try to hit home runs, and Matt Davidson is very strong. The only time I want to see him cut down his stroke is when he has to make some contact. You know, if you look at the numbers over the years of Albert Pujols, you'll see a prolific home run hitter who, when he got to two strikes, would cut down his swing. And look at his strikeout totals as opposed to some of the other premier home run hitters, and you'll realize that Albert had a pretty good idea. I saw Albert in his first series ever. I was doing a show at that point with David Kaplan, of all people,
mm-hmm.
and I watched him face...
Whatever happened to him, by the way? Did Kaplan ever make anything of himself?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you something. He is, he's omniscient and he's omnipotent. And so, you know, through everything and everywhere...
He's on something.
Yeah, but Pujols spread out. His balance was great. He faced Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, and a guy named Elmer Descends in a three-game series, and I told David in the show at that point, there's some good news and bad news out of Arizona. The good news is there's a great hitter on the horizon. You might not have heard of him, but you will. And the bad news is he's wearing two Cardinals on his chest. Albert understood how to cut down his swing. Matt Davidson is just learning to be not an Albert Pujols type hitter, because that's a once-in-a-generation hitter, but he's learning that if he cuts down his stroke a little, he's so strong that his line drives don't clang off the wall. They go over the fence. And so he's going to be able to do that still, like all non-contact hitters, like all power hitters, he's going to strike out a lot. So let's take the runs batted in. Let's take the home runs. He's still in the development stage, although he's a little bit older. He's getting extended play now. I think you'll see some good things from him. But I'm more excited about Yoan Moncada, because Moncada is starting to show what he did show when he was acclaimed the number one prospect in all of baseball. And that is a guy, right now, his exit velocity is fifth in all of baseball. And when you look at the top four, they're all prolific home run hitters, and Yoan is not at this point. He can hit home runs. You wouldn't consider him a home run hitter, but especially damaging from the left side of the plate. The exit velocity also helps the ball get through the infield. That can't be taught. You either have that or you don't. He does have it, and when he gets the right-handed reps, he's going to get it tonight against Danny Duffy. You're going to see a different hitter from the right side, but it's very tough to groove your stroke from both sides of the plate. That's why the most prolific home run hitters have always hit one way. You got Mickey Mantle stands out at the top. You've got Eddie Murray with 504 home runs, probably the second most prolific, powerful switch hitter.
Right.
But it's really difficult to groove the stroke from both sides of the plate.
Five home runs the last nine games for Moncada. He's let off the last two in the White Sox, first with home runs, first pitch off Felix Hernandez 2 days ago. Have you seen a difference, Steve, in him over this last stretch? Do you sense that he's just kind of getting more comfortable up there?
Well, again, Dave, when you take a look at a guy who was acclaimed as the number one prospect in baseball for two straight years, you realize there's an astonishing amount of talent there. Mm-hmm. So pitchers were taking advantage of off-speed pitches. They were throwing him slow curveballs, straight changes. He was swinging out in front of them. He's still going to strike out a lot, but his on-base percentage in the 340s, knocking at the door of 350. So he does have a pretty good eye. However, let's not forget the fact that he's 22 years old.
Wow.
And last year, Mookie Betts is acclaimed as the best leadoff hitter in baseball, perhaps. I'm not sure about that. There's other really good ones, but Betts is certainly one of them. Last year, he hit 24 home runs, and he batted 264. And Mookie Betts is a terrific player, don't get me wrong. I would love to have him. I think everybody would. But that was in his third year in the major leagues. Yoan has been here, 2 months, 2.5 months?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the numbers. He's going to dwarf. He's going to make those numbers look pedestrian in his third year. And Betts is acclaimed as one of the best around. I think Moncada is going to be better. And so, you know, they play a different position, obviously, but Moncada is starting to make the defensive plays, which usually happens, by the way, when a youngster starts hitting the baseball. He starts concentrating more. But like all 22-year-olds, sometimes his mind wanders. When it does, you'll see the ball clank off his glove. And so, mechanically, he's got some things to work on the defensive side. But working hand-in-hand with Tim Anderson on a daily basis, they get to know one another. They get to know the rhythms. They get to know how much ground they cover. They get to know where that throw is coming from on the pivot play. Anderson himself made just a wonderful double play yesterday. So this is a couple of the building blocks for the Sox as we move forward. These two guys should be there a long time unless somewhere along the line they decide to move Tim to center field. You might remember Sean Dunstan on the north side of town. He was a guy who played shortstop. Now, his arm was considerably better than Anderson, but the range is the same. The pop-up ability is about the same. And everybody said for Dunstan, you know, maybe he'd be better served in center field. He never went there. But I talked to Sean after his career, and he said, you know, he probably should have gone to center field. I said, you're kidding, aren't you? Anyway, he would have been a magnificent center fielder. And I think Tim's going to be good at wherever he plays, and I don't know what his destiny is. Depends on Lewis Robert. If Lewis Robert can play and if he can stay healthy, that's your center fielder of the future. So we'll see what happens.
Heard you and Jason talking the other day about the leadoff hitter and the way it's changed. I think it was in reference to D. Gordon with the Mariners. How do you describe or how do you define a leadoff hitter these days when you see teams going to all different types of players? We saw Kyle Schwarber, as you pointed out, lead off for the Cubs.
How'd that work out?
Well, yeah, I think we've all discovered not that great. But how do you define the role now?
It's very easy. The leadoff hitter in the American League is the guy that hits first, and he can take advantage of it because he can drive in a lot of runs if you have some speed burners at the eighth and ninth position, because then you roll over to the top. A leadoff hitter only leads off one inning. That's the first. In the National League, it becomes more dramatic because you've got the pitcher coming up behind him, except in the instances where a lot of managers, probably starting with Tony La Russa consistently, they put their pitcher in the eighth spot, putting a hitter in the ninth spot, then rolling over to the number one guy. You know, Charlie Blackmon hit leadoff last year. He drove in 102 runs. Leadoff hitters have changed. A lot of managers like one of their better hitters, one of their more prolific run producers at the number one spot, because he gets more at-bats. They like that one extra at-bat per game. In the National League, it is a different position because, again, most managers conventionally still go with the pitcher as the nine hitter, then you roll to the top. I prefer a leadoff hitter who can get on base, but you don't find the 400 on base percentages unless you see power hitters. Power hitters who pitchers are afraid of, they will pitch around at times. Consequently, they have inflated on base percentages. But the true leadoff hitters, the guy like D. Gordon, who is one of the true leadoff hitters, he's probably an endangered species because he likes to slap the ball, he likes to run, he gets on, he disrupts the game in stolen bases. But sabermetricians will tell you that the stolen base in this era has almost gone the way of the dodo bird. They just don't have a whole lot of them, and they don't care to have them because they feel giving away an out, the way pitchers can dominate at times, is too costly. So every manager has a different philosophy. The best that I've found are the guys that meld the traditional baseball outlook with the sabermetricians. I think Mike Socha said it best when he was talking about Jerry DePoto as his GM. And he said, look, there's no doubt you have more stats than I know what to do with, but give me statistics that are relevant for the game tonight. I don't want to know about the game tomorrow night, or I don't want to know about the last game of the series. Give me some things that'll help me tonight. Don't laden me down with statistics because I can't implement them. I have to still go with my gut on occasion. Because, you know, you put up a right-handed reliever who's dominant, everybody brings in a left-handed pinch hitter. Well, you did that against Mariano Rivera, and you just went through three bats because he would break them all.
Yep.
And he was much better suited, and managers started to put right-handed pinch hitters against Rivera. But that's just one instance where the numbers, the traditional baseball of left-hander against right-hander, that doesn't work. Then you go to the numbers, and you see the numbers, right-handers have more success. Tom Glavine, a Hall of Famer, the same situation. Left-handers had more success against him than right-handers.
Mariano Rivera, the kindling wood factory. Condolences to Rick Renteria, lost his mom, lived a good long life, but that's always tough. So our best to him. And what do we hear about Danny Farquhar? We haven't talked to you since last Friday, and it was only a week ago. I hear there's a little bit of good news, right?
No, there's actually a lot of good news. He actually is not only communicative, but he's able to walk. He's able to get around and walk a little bit. And, you know, a couple of great things that happened, and we cannot understate kudos for Herm Schneider, Brian Ball, and the EMTs who got to Danny so quickly that they were able to get oxygen to him. And we hope, number one, we worry about the baseball career later. He is making great strides. He is improving. He's 31 years old. He's a professional athlete. He's doing just a great job. He's had a few, let's call it a few, brain surgeries to eliminate pressure and do some other things. And yet he's responding very well. And at 31, you have a pretty good chance. And apparently that brain bleed was in a pretty good spot where the outlook is good. Now, we don't really know what he's going to come back with as far as any type of impairment because of, you know, the blood flow.
Sure.
And some, but not much, oxygen loss. And so I just credit everybody associated with the White Sox and then Rush for getting there as quickly as possible, doing what they had to do, not only preserving his life, but one of the great parts about it, guys, is his mother and his wife were in the stands at the time.
How about that?
So even though maybe he was not conscious at times, he still felt the presence of his family around him, the well wishes of everybody associated with the White Sox. It's been a team effort. The players are wearing jerseys with his name on it. They get cards and letters and things he probably can't even come close to assimilating at this point, but he will. People want to visit him, but he's still in ICU. He's making great progress. We really wish him the best, and I think everybody, and not only, it was a testament to Danny Farquhar, it's not only the White Sox who are currently playing, but teams like Seattle, where he played before.
Sure.
Teams that knew Danny Farquhar, Kansas City is another team, and they seem to be able to reach out to him, put the jerseys up. Pray for 43 is the mantra, and it's been just a wonderful story, and hopefully it has a storybook ending.
Exactly, my friend. Royals this weekend, then to St. Louis, and then home to the Twins and the Pirates before playing at Wrigley. So get those tickets, Sox fans. We'll see you at Guaranteed Rate Field next week for the Twins and the Pirates. And thank you, Steve Stone.
Thank you. And Andrea, you never sounded better.
Steve,
goodbye, boys. Have a
I
good
miss
show.
You. Love you, Steve.
I miss you, too.
She can't wedge a word. She can't get a word in with me. And with the three of us, no. She can't get
a
word in.
Hey, I was going to tell him to save me one of the White Sox the no ketchup t-shirts.
Yeah, they're pushing those. No ketchup. That's exactly right. You are right. All right, what do you got?
Steve Stone on Baseball is sponsored by Harry Carey's. Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse and the Chicago Sports Museum at Water Tower Place. Everything is a home run at Harry Carey's.
News coming up here in just a second. Hi to everybody on CLTV, and good morning and happy Friday. And Tuesday, it's going to be 80 degrees. Tuesday, to me, is the first day of the rest of our lives.
Well, it's supposed to be pretty warm on Monday,
but
isn't it?
Tuesday is the first 80.
Yeah.
I might not come in.
You're not, are you complaining about 70s?
No, I like 70s.
Okay.
But 80s is the number.
Okay.
You can't do the show from, like, the golf course. Just to have a little, you know.
You know what I think I'm going to do? You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to go outside and sit on the sidewalk.
It's a great idea.
I'm going to do the show from right outside the window.
Let's take a chair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll bring you something.
Not because I'm a diva, just because my knees hurt. Texters on bad birthday gifts in honor of Melania Trump getting a diddly squad from the president. 773, my ex-husband bought me this beautiful framed art. And when I said, this will look great in my office, he said, well, I already picked out a spot in our house. It went in my office. He claimed it was his in the divorce. It's still in my office. 847, this is actually Valentine's Day. For Valentine's Day, I got my wife flowers and a card and stool softener pills.
Okay. That's just gross.
847, 16th birthday, I was promised a car. No. Instead, I bought a 1970 Plymouth for $200. High school graduation, I was promised a car. Nope. 18th birthday, promised a car. Parents bought a new car, gave their car to my grandfather, and I got his eventually. No gifts for 16 or graduation, but you know what? I still love him 30 years later. You kind of have to.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't get a car at 16 anyway.
574, I took care of the finances in our house, told my wife there was $50 in the checking account for her birthday. Yeah, we're no longer married.
Oh, $50.
815, my birthday 2 weeks ago, my husband gave me nothing, not even a 50-cent card from the dollar store where he often is. He said he had no money. Fast forward a few days later, he accidentally let it slip. There's quite a bit of money secretly saved. Well, that'll pay for the attorney.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. One more here. 815, my husband gave me a membership to play handball 6 weeks after I delivered twins.
He wanted her back in shape.
And I wanted a moment to myself, not a moment playing handball.
He wanted to give her some recreation.
Yeah. No. And some stress relief, apparently.
All right there, Nikki Naive. I got to have a talk with you. Let's see. It's time to take one more quick break. No, we're going straight to the news. All right, straight to the news.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
Happy Friday. 9:13. Make it 9:14 now. My daughter, Amy Cochran, will join us in just a second. Autism Awareness Month ends on April 30th, but the awareness of autism became even, a more stark thing this week when we found out that the statistics for autism being a diagnosis in kids has gone up again. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. We just know that we have to have the proper resources in place to help, and very proud of Amy because she is one of these fine resources. Hello, Amy Cochran.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on the show. I know you've had many offers.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Tell everybody the name of your company.
I work for Autism Home Support Services. We provide both in-home and center-based ABA services, as well as some speech therapy services in our centers.
And what is ABA therapy?
ABA therapy stands for Applied Behavior Analysis. It is the it's a scientific approach, one of the main accepted treatments. That might not be the best word, but treatments for children with autism. Through ABA, we look to increase communication, social skills, life skills, learning skills, coping skills, reduce behavior reduction, and all to kind of, or all to help students achieve their greatest potential.
Right, and also I know you work with parents as well to help them, and she does this, as do her therapists and her colleagues at Autism Home Support, and for folks who also do ABA, in the house. So you go into these folks' houses and you work with the kids one-on-one. Is it more relaxing for the kids in some way if you're doing it in their own home? Is that part of the science?
You know, I think so. I mean, ABA is definitely used in school settings, too. I think in home you get to really make a great impact, not only for the child, but for the family as well, just to, you know, get them fully integrated into the community, allow them to do what they need to do in their daily life. Things like that.
AutismHomeSupport.com is the website. There's lots of resources there. And even though Autism Awareness Month is about up, there's a 30 things to do this month that applies, frankly, every day of the year. Andrea, say hi to Amy.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Amy, I saw a really cool article. It was out of Washington, D.C. 2 days ago, and it was talking about music therapy and how music therapy is now used to as kind of a, you know, a treatment, if you will, or kind of more soothing. Are you using any of that, or have you heard about that?
You know, that's kind of outside the scope of what we do. There's definitely various therapies out there, and ABA definitely tries to work with the other services that children might be receiving, but BCBAs, which is what I am, a board-certified behavior analyst, we stick to, you know, behavioral therapy, because that's what we know, and then we obviously look to collaborate with other providers as well.
I know the answer to this question, but let's pretend I don't know you. This is Amy Cochran. I don't know if you know our guest. Why do you do this? And for other folks like you, because you know how proud I am of you, and I gave up the fact that I know her. Why do this as a job? I mean, you have a degree and skills in this area. You could do other jobs. Why is this important to you?
That's a very good question. I know you talk a lot about Uncle Mickey. He's definitely a big inspiration for why I do what I do.
That's your uncle, you know, and my brother. It's my special needs brother is a couple of years older than your uncle.
Right, yes. You know, it's, these kids are just, they're amazing. They're some of the most kind kids that you know. They're very, they're great judges of character. And just to help them, like I said, achieve their greatest potential is just really rewarding and awesome. You know, I never thought going into this that I wanted to do a touchdown dance, you know, when kids put, you know, a 3-word, 4-word, 5-word sentence together. You know, it's, all that stuff is huge. And, you know, they start learning new skills, and then it generalizes to other skills. And, you know, I've been lucky to work with some kids who get to a point where they no longer need our services. And that's amazing, too. So,
well, it takes a tremendous amount of patience, and everybody that does what you do and everybody in the field working with folks with and kids with autism. It's an amazing stuff. Andrea?
And Amy, what else can we do to get involved and to help out? I know there's a couple of walks. There's a big one downtown, too, as well. Is that the best way to get involved?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Autism Home Support will be at both the North Shore Walk and the Chicago Walk put up by Autism Speaks. We'll have tables and booths there that you can get information on the resources and services that we have and that we offer. Something else that's been in the news a lot recently is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is cutting back on how much they pay for our services, and they are the main provider of ABA services in Illinois. So there's also a site, I just wrote it down.
I think I've got it here. Get through to blue.com, I think, right?
Right, yes, where you can kind of sign a petition and voice your support, because each year, insurance requirements change, and unfortunately, they tend to make it more difficult for clients to receive our services. And I've seen the impact firsthand that has on our clients. And with Blue Cross Blue Shield being the biggest provider, you know, other providers might follow suit and cut back on the services.
Can't have it. Can't have it.
Allow us.
Can't have it. Yeah. And you need to let your elected reps know about this as well. Dr. Most has said this many, many times. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. And early intervention is key. And a steady, continued intervention is vitally important. And we know ABA therapy works. Since we know it works and we know the statistics are going up and we have more kids being diagnosed with this, it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Blue Cross Blue Shield, right. I understand it's a business, but you got to find the money elsewhere. What is it again? Get through to blue.
Getthroughtoblue.com. And something really cool that Autism Home Support is doing, we were recently acquired by Invo, who works... it's a healthcare company with over 25 years of experience, both in school-based early interventions. We have OTs, PTs, speech therapists, and something now that we're a part of their company that who has you know really great resources. We are doing some research, gathering some data on just how beneficial our services are to help.
Well, that makes sense, and that helps sell it to the legislators and the insurance companies and the folks that make the rules. What's the company called? Invo.
Invo, I-N-V-O.
All right.
And the skyline is still blue.
Yes.
And will continue to be.
Right, because it's autism Autism Awareness Month, but it goes on every single day. All right, well, listen, great job by you, and we'll give you the same guest fee we give all guests. Thanks for coming on. But thanks for doing what you do every day, and I love you, and give them the website one more time.
It's autismhomesupport.com. There's a number. Easy way for you to get in contact with us and a lot of really cool resources, you know, including other services that are out there that you might be interested in.
Great job. Thank you.
Very nice. You should take her to dinner.
Thank you.
That's Amy
Cochran.
Take her
to dinner anywhere she wants to go.
I got to be honest with you. I like Hamp. I like Stone. She's my favorite guest. Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You got to go and get angry at all of my honesty. No, I try, but I don't do too well with apologies.
A couple of texters wanted the website again. It's Get Through to Blue. Get Through, G-E-T through T-H-R-O-U-G-H-T-O, Blue. GetThroughToBlue.com to continue to support. And we'll have it linked in the podcast, but to continue to support the appropriate funding for, and by the way, they're not overfunded, the funding they need to keep the doors open to make sure these kids with autism are given treatment and to help maximize their lives. Least we can do. The White Sox tickets. Did I? Not yet. I got a family pack of tickets to see the White Sox. White Sox in Minnesota, Sunday, May 6th at 1:10. And there's a sounder that plays.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, what does it sound like? This isn't to win. This is not the sounder to call in to win. But what does it sound like, the sounder? You know, if you were to play it for me. The actual sound of the sounder. You know what I'm talking about, the sounder.
Don't White Sox!
So, like, if you heard that, you could be the sixth caller, seventh caller, eighth caller. How many calls?
Seventh caller.
Mm-hmm. 2005.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. You'll be answering phones all day.
You know what? You heard the sounder. Call now.
There you go.
Call now for the tickets.
Yeah.
That's all
nice. That's generous.
Sounded like there were two songs playing at once there.
Did it?
Yes.
Wouldn't be the first time. You've heard the show. All right, so I have more of these.
These are great.
This is a hot text question of the day. Wait, bad birthday gifts.
We didn't ask you. Was there any birthday gift that you ever got that was a bad gift?
No.
Okay.
No. And I'm not easy to buy for because I always go, whatever. You know.
You're very appreciative of the gift.
I am appreciative, but also I'm not good at going, well, I need this or I need that.
Yeah.
Because I buy stuff for myself all the time. But I'm sure I've given away a few clunkers. I think I'm a pretty good gift giver, but I'm sure I've given away a few clunkers.
I think you're a very good gift giver because you try and you focus on the person and what they like.
Yeah.
It's like speaking for me.
It's like we're getting Andrea Amazon Prime for her birthday.
Right.
Yeah, and like you got Hooters for Dave. I mean, so
right.
it worked out
the things
well.
That people talk about the most.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 847, my husband forgot and my daughter was hysterical when I did the same thing to him. Oh, yeah, we're divorced now. 630, a frying pan. I'm not kidding. Not once, but twice, 2 years apart, and I'm still married to the chump 51 years later.
I'm just curious.
What's wrong with that?
A frying pan?
Yeah.
Maybe to clunk him over the head with.
Yeah, Mary Vanderbilt, I was going to say, you want to handle this?
Can you picture, though, the guy going into the store or whatever it is, Sur La Table or Williams-Sonoma, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, I want to buy a frying pan?
For the little lady.
Yeah.
815, after dating my husband for 3 months, our first Valentine's Day came around. He gave me a gift certificate to a health club. Hey, guys, listen up. Come closer to the radio.
Oh,
come here.
Remember what
come
Bella
here.
Said?
If she asks for a gift certificate to the health club more than once, she actually wants the gift certificate to the health club.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Valentine's Day gift. It's something you just do.
Can I give some advice?
Something you just do.
We'll tell you what we want.
Yes, just listen.
That doesn't work all the
well,
time.
Well, actually,
right, because we don't listen.
I complimented
right.
Mary on her necklace yesterday, said that's beautiful. And she said, oh, yeah, my husband got it for, it was a birthday, right, or an anniversary?
Christmas.
For Christmas. I said, it's beautiful. And she said, well, I told him what I wanted.
Right, exactly.
He better have picked out the right one.
Right. Check this out. My wife gave me a sweater-type pullover as a gift. It was, seemed like it was for an older guy. She knew I would never wear it or like it. Turns out she actually bought it for her dad. But forgot to get me something and gave it to me as a consolation prize.
Oh. Oops.
Liz from Evergreen Park won the White Sox tickets. White Sox and the Twins Sunday, May 6th at 1:10. You got the Twins and the Pirates coming in. Get your White Sox tickets. We'll see you at Guaranteed Rate Field. 708 Texter. I once received a kitchen faucet for a birthday gift from my husband. Didn't ask for a kitchen faucet. Did I mention he's my ex-husband?
Oh.
But they're not cheap.
No,
well, they
not.
Can. Some are.
I know they're not.
But not the nice ones.
I just got one.
Yeah.
In the new kitchen.
And you got a nice one.
They're
I'm
not
guessing.
Cheap.
No.
Did they're you get
cheap.
It for your wife or is it just?
No.
Okay.
She picked out everything. She did a great job. This thing, like if your hands are, you know, messy, you just wave your hand near the faucet. It turns on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I can turn it on from across the
okay,
room.
Okay. So you couldn't like turn on the water. You need to wave your hand at it?
Well, because if let's say you're making something that's you know, messy in some form, and you don't want to get your fancy schmancy faucet
I got you.
Gunked up.
So you can just wave from across the room and it'll go on?
No, but it wouldn't be cool. Wouldn't it be cool if you could?
Yeah. It would be.
773, got a light fixture for the utility room, which was on clearance at Home Depot. Again, from my ex-husband. How many people in this audience are divorced?
Because of bad gifts.
Exactly. 847. For Christmas, my boyfriend gave me a laundry basket and a set of pots and pans. 30 years later, I still have the basket and the pans. Boyfriend's gone.
Oh.
319. I worked at a bank in the mall. It was next to a jewelry store. I pointed out a ring I loved. Well, at work right before my birthday, I saw him go by the bank and then came into the mall. I was so excited. I was going to get the ring. Instead, he went to the Singer store and bought a sewing machine.
Oh.
Did I know how to sew? No. Did I say I wanted to learn? Nope. Nice gift from my mother, though, when I gave it to her. Yep, we're divorced, too, for 25 years now.
Re-gift.
And again, a huge mistake. My friend's husband, this is a through and two. My friend's husband gave her a thigh master because he saw Suzanne Summers using it on TV.
That's really bad.
That's
hey, honey, what do you say, huh? Work for her. Headlines next, and Pat Tomasulo will join us. We got a bunch more of these texts to get to before 10 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Come get it, babe. Remember when I wrote this? Handsome, talented man of the people. Pat Tomasulo joins us live from Channel 9. How are you, buddy? Wait a second. Where'd he go? Here he is.
Here I am.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm upset that I can't see your handsome face from where I am right now.
I'm right behind
you. It's almost not fair.
I'm right behind you.
How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I am terrific.
Let's talk about Man of the People before we get to why you're really
on
the show.
Let's do it. What do you want to know?
Man of the People, Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. How's it going?
It's going. That's how it's going. No, it's what fun.
You got a lovely set. You got a live audience. Yeah. You got funny. You got you out on the street bothering people who aren't bothering you.
Yeah, that is. Listen, don't make it. Those people want to be bothered.
It's true.
They come to that camera like moths to a flame.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't seek them out. We were watching last week, and my wife was like, "Where do you find these people? Where do I find these people? These are my people."
Yes, he's a man of those people.
Yeah, this is my demo. All those crazies who come to that camera, I don't solicit them. They just come right to me, Steve Cochran.
You seem to like taking your clothes off outside of your own home. Most of us do it inside our own homes. Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, Steve, I suffer for my art. That's what it is. It's not a vanity thing. It's I'm an artist.
I think
that's what I need to do. I mean, you know, all artists are tortured souls. That's what I do.
You looked especially good, Pat, in the Girl Scout outfit when you were selling all those cookies.
Didn't I? I think it was more so than the skirt. I think it was the beret.
How close was that to charges? Charges in a restraining order.
Oh, no, not even close, Steve. Come on now. And let me tell you something. Kids love me. I get this reputation.
Why wouldn't they?
You know why kids love me? I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because I speak to them like adults. I don't sugarcoat things and talk to them like they're little kids. They don't like that. It's insulting to them.
Right.
They like to be spoken to like adults, and they respond to that.
Right.
That's
so like
why I am huge with the 8 to 14-year-old boy demographic.
Right. But also with the Girl Scouts, I noticed you only were happy with your bigger producers. You said, what was it, Jill?
Yeah, I got no time for losers.
Yeah, Jill. Yeah. Let's go, Jill. Jill sold more Thin Mints.
Right.
She was one of your favorites.
Listen, if you're only going to move 5 boxes of Thin Mints, you can't be on my team.
Percent.
Okay? This is not. We don't get participation trophies in my Girl Scout troop.
In the big picture,
we got to move product, my man.
In the big picture, he's not wrong. Right. Not wrong at all.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, so now let's talk about what really matters. Yeah. Not you and me. What do you got coming up?
Well, we have next Saturday is the big annual fundraiser, Laugh Your Face Off. This is the one we do every year to raise money for the Facial Pain Research Foundation, which what we do is we fund research to cure trigeminal neuralgia, which is the disease my wife Amy has had for 17 years now.
The entire course of your relationship, right?
Yeah. I mean, she was diagnosed about 6 months before we met. So
how about that?
Yeah, so it's for those who don't know, it's a very rare disorder that affects a nerve in your face. Doctors classify it as the worst pain known to mankind.
And it can come at any time.
It can come at any time. There's no cure for it. There are treatments. A lot of these treatments are pretty awful. Some people find relief. A number of people don't. And there's no guarantee that the pain will never return, even for those who have some relief from treatments. So what we do is we fund research. We have 6 independent research projects that we're funding throughout the world that hopefully will lead to a cure.
Your wife is such a saint, not just for this, Pat, but, I mean, realistically, you know, being with you every day.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart.
That's a different pain.
How does she do it?
Deal with me or deal with the other
deal
stuff?
With you.
Let me tell you something, because I'm a sweetheart.
Yeah, you are.
When I leave this place,
it's
a tale of two Pats. Let me tell you.
You are
the rest of that.
I'm teasing. We love you.
I have no idea.
A Tale of Two Pats, one of the great theater efforts of all time.
Yeah.
All right. So the show is when?
The show is Saturday, May 5th, next Saturday. Now, if you'll give me a soapbox for a second.
Soapbox it up.
To pitch everything. We only have about 40 tickets left. So if you want tickets, go to laughyourfaceoff.org and buy them.
And this is sold every year. Sold out every
year.
Sold out.
And we doubled our capacity. We were always at the Laugh Factory, which is about 300. Now we're at Park West, which is 700.
Wow.
So we expect to sell out. But the big thing is, too, is we have a silent auction that anybody can register for. So if you go to the website, you can register. And I called in every possible favor that I could with every contact that I've made in my entire career. We have go to Vegas and see the Impractical Jokers live and do a meet and greet
right?
with them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
go to America's Got Talent VIP, meet Howie Mandel. We've got go to Inside the NBA, meet Shaq, Kenny, EJ, and Charles.
Get that's a good price. Very cool. That's a good price.
Behind the scenes of the WGN Morning News and lunch with the entire crew, which if you know Robin Baumgarten, who leaves at 10:05 a.m. every morning, that is a rarer prize than any of the other things.
It's like an eclipse.
Cubs experiences, Blackhawks, White Sox, a sandwich crawl with me and Food Network's Jeff Mora. I mean, we have 50 prizes on there that are just mind-blowing, and anybody can bid on it. All the proceeds go to the foundation.
You know what else is on there?
What's that?
Hey, Bennett.
Come to a Northwestern football game.
Hey. And hang out with
get
you.
Get a picture tag and come to the booth, the whole deal.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
To the Dave Bennett broadcast booth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Right?
That's unbelievable.
I mean, it's not Vegas, I admit.
That's where the lunch is with Robin Baumgarten.
I'm going to bid on the sandwich crawl because I want to have a po' boy with Tomasulo.
I don't know. That whole thing sounded like code to me. Listen, buddy, congrats on the success, but mostly congrats on being a good husband and a great fundraiser and my best to your wife. Let's sell this out. Where do we get tickets?
Laughyourfaceoff.org. If you're interested in buying them, honestly, buy them today because it is going to sell out probably by the end of the weekend.
By the end of this segment.
Yeah.
Laughyourfaceoff.org. Soft.org. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, bud.
There you go. That's
there he is.
Pat Tomasulo.
He's so great.
Very funny dude. And you imagine. Now, I want you to think about this for a second, because we're talking about this the Wackenheimer relationship between the president and the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
Pat meets his wife 6 months after she's diagnosed with this condition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then Pat's girlfriend. They're kids.
Yeah.
At any point, he could have bailed. Go, I don't know, this is something she may struggle with her whole life. And yet they're together.
Mm-hmm.
They are a great couple.
Yep.
She works very hard at her health. He works very hard at helping her along the way. I don't know. I'm very impressed by that sort of dedication.
Great, great couple.
So it's a good story.
They had an article recently in the Sun Times, and it said that he has not been able to touch her face, left side of her face, the whole time.
How about that?
Just brushing against her or something causes such pain.
It's amazing. You know, I've seen her socially a few times at some of these fundraisers. She's an amazingly strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you can imagine. Let me tell you something. If I was dealing with that, you'd never see me. I'd be at my house.
Yeah.
Just staying there.
Yeah, it's hard to go outside, too.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So all right. We'll come back. We'll give you a few more of these texts for bad birthday gifts. And set up the weekend for you, too. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
If I get as many of these in as I can here in the lightning round, bad birthday gifts. We're dedicating this entire show to the First Lady who got hosed because the president didn't get her anything. I'm guessing that's fine with her. 773, my ex-husband got me a pair of jeans, two sizes too small for my 30th birthday, a month after we had our first baby. Thoughtful. 815, worst gift, a car wash kit. 815, a wetsuit because he liked to go kayaking.
Oh.
269, he actually gave me divorce papers on my birthday.
Okay, really? You couldn't wait a day?
920, for Mother's Day, I regifted flowers that were given to my mom to my wife.
Oh, what?
You couldn't buy two bouquets?
So, I wonder if mom knew he took them.
Oh, I bet.
773, a gift bag, birthday gift with a card inside, not wrapped. It was in the store bag still.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Yeah, sweet.
Think.
847, my husband bought me a DVD of the Super Bowl Shuffle on clearance from Walgreens and then got mad when I got mad.
Uh-oh. See, now you guys would like that, right?
No.
Okay.
773, khaki pants.
I just wanted to defend the jeans guy. There's a good chance, had he gotten the size that fits, that she could have been offended by the size.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safer to give ones that are too mm-hmm. small. Oh, honey, you mean you're not a size 2?
Yeah, that's a move that most of us would make.
Yeah, so
but I think she's sensitive because she just had the baby.
Yeah, I'm just
so maybe don't go with
stay
the
stay away from the jeans. Yeah, but
219. He gave me a card written in another language, which neither one of us speak. He never noticed because he didn't look.
Oh, he just grabbed a card off the rack? That's funny.
6-3-0, I was taken to Cedar Rapids, Iowa to a minor league baseball game because my husband won tickets to it from a local radio station while he was there on a business trip.
Uh-oh, you didn't give that out, did you? 630
a sweater shaver. 815 lunch at Costco.
Wait, what's a sweater shaver?
Yeah. Get the pills off your sweater.
What?
The isn't fabric, that, the little thing.
Like what, now, lint remover? Or
no, yeah. You actually run it alongside.
Oh, the little clumps?
It blades the clumps off.
I've never heard of that.
You sound like it.
I was a professional sweater shaver for a long time.
And you worked in a cleaner's.
314, 2 months after we broke up, my ex stopped by my apartment to give me a down comforter. I gave it to my pastor and his wife. Oh. 708, first year married, my husband bought me a light-up magnifying mirror. Was he telling me something about how I looked?
Okay, can I just say those are expensive, and I would love that.
Me too.
Yeah, that's not
right?
bad.
Because that's nice when you like tweeze your eyebrows, yep. And yeah.
And last one, 630, didn't Anna DeVolantis get windshield wipers? No, again, kids, this was a Valentine's Day present, or as I like to call it, even worse. Bill and Wendy next. We'll see you back here on Monday, and I'll tell you how the Kathleen Madigan show is tonight. Remember, Ross Cochran's taking me to that.
It's going
to
be a fun
Christmas
show.
Present payoff.
That's going to be a good time.
What a good time.
She's very funny.
I may rush the stage.
Oh, you just might rush the stage?
Just do a quick 10.
Well, the people see you, they're going to want you to do some time.
Right.
It's crazy
right.
to not do right. 10 minutes. Right.
Steve. Get out.
Jeez.
What are you guys doing today?
Bill Cosby wants to do some time, too.
He's going to. Hey, he's going to.
More than 10.
Today? What are you guys doing today?
We have an action-packed show. We're going to be talking about what to plant with Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. Uh-huh. Noted pet expert. Steve Dale will be here.
You don't plant your pets, though, do you?
You're not supposed to plant your pets.
Well, there comes a time.
You saw Pet Cemetery, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't end well when you plant your pets.
That's not good. That's not good. But who doesn't enjoy a field full of golden retrievers?
Do that at the Kathleen Madigan Show. People will enjoy that.
That's kinda, no, that's don't a, do that.
I'm going to open with it.
All right.
See you Monday.
Bye, guys.